Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So nice to have your company. Saturday arvo, heading towards 3 o'clock kickoff. The Raiders taking on the Knights at McDonald's Park in beautiful Wagga. And Peter Sterling joins us. Reedy is still here, as is MG. My name's Tony Squires. Beautiful Wagga. Where will people go to? They'll watch the game. What will be the plan of action, do you think?
Good afternoon, everybody. There's a lot of pubs in Wagga.
Yeah,
a lot of pubs per capita. Mm-hmm. It's right up there with the very best that we can offer.
Mm-hmm. Like Cessnock.
I think we've got Cessnock covered.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that may well be. Look, Wagga's a great place. I haven't been down there for a while because I don't have relatives down there anymore. And all the people I went to school with either went to Sydney, Melbourne or Canberra because there wasn't a whole lot of opportunities there. But if you wanted to play your sport, Wagga was the place to be. And you still never answered the question, if we can call Wagga Wagga Wagga, why can't we call Woi Woi Woi? And you just look at me again.
That's
like
so
I'm an
true.
Idiot.
That's no, I agree with you. I've just been a Wagga kind of guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, rather than Wagga Wagga.
You would fit in Wagga. You would.
Woi is good though, isn't it?
One case you could say Woi.
Oh.
Yeah, but they banned you from saying Rankarina on television. Sorry.
What have you enjoyed so far? As I said, there's the top five sides have all had a run around by Saturday morning, and there's been just some big score lines. Obviously, some playing personnel missing for South Sydney. The brutality of the Eels and Roosters game. Where do you want to start,
well,
Sterling?
I think last night was a standout, wasn't it? It was wonderful to be out there, a fantastic atmosphere. I think over 25,000 fans there. And it was a game that just had absolutely everything and was as physical as I've seen this year. And I don't know how often, let me ask you the question. Who were you more impressed by?
Yeah.
Was it Parramatta or the Roosters?
Absolutely, because that scoreline towards the end, I mean, the Roosters were right in that until the field goal and that last try.
Well, until the captain's challenge.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, that was everybody said, brave performance, but that is the epitome of a brave performance from the Roosters right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, they went in. The most important thing, obviously, for Parramatta in those kind of games, you've got to only be concerned with who's playing, not who's out. You know, you don't want to be rooting about how they're undermanned, understrength.
Yep.
Because you just knew that the Roosters were going to front and they've got depth, they're quality, they're well coached, and we got exactly what we expected from them. To lose Radley was big, but then, you know, I look at Parramatta, to lose Reed Marnie
was
huge.
Who was playing great
as well. So it was there was so much to come out of that game. And, you know, I've got no doubt that Parramatta were very fortunate because I do think, you know, the Nia Corre and the Dylan Brown incidents, I think they were both sin-binable offences.
Yep.
So, you know, they could have lost two players from the one movement for different incidents. Mm. And all of a sudden, we may well have had Suwali into the game.
Yep.
Because as it turned out, the Roosters got nothing out of that.
Correct. Mm. And for those who have just tuned in, Reedy, what was the upshot of all those that actions?
So Dylan Brown's facing 3 to 4 weeks on the sidelines, Tony. He was charged with dangerous contact, I think, from memory. And Nia Corre is looking 2 to 3 weeks for careless high tackle. And Drew Hutchinson, obviously, the player is on the end of the Dylan Brown knees, is in Westmead Hospital. He's in the trauma unit with a couple of broken ribs and a punctured lung. And he's got some time out of the game, Drew Hutchinson.
A lot of fallout, sorry, Tony, out of that game as well when you consider that. Like, Nia Corre was a makeshift centre anyway. You know, I don't know how Parramatta are going to cover that. Obviously Drew Hutchinson missing, there's Lachie Lamb timely return possibly for him next week.
Yeah. He would have played New South Wales Cup this weekend, but because of the bubble and COVID, he wasn't able to play. But
that's an inexperienced set of halves, isn't it? Again, with Lachie Lamb alongside Sam Walker.
Yeah, well, Sam Walker, of course, he had the ankle, a bit of sternum problem, a bit of hip problem. He was wounded as well. There's a lot of those guys who were kind of busted or half busted.
I thought Parramatta targeted him really well.
Yeah.
And I thought Sam Walker handled it superbly. couple of those tackles there. There was one on Isaiah Papali, or Papali'i, five out from the line, went low and just nailed him. I made the point in commentary that a couple of weeks ago we saw that Isaiah Papali'i run over the top of Josh Papali'i to score a try. Yeah. Sam Walker stopping him in that fashion was extraordinary.
Yep. The other casualties, of course, were those, really, who were inside the bunker. They've been relieved of duties for the rest of this round.
Yeah, the rest of this round off. And Graham Annesley, I think, has conceded that they made some pretty glaring oversights in that game. I think he's admitted them publicly through a press release, and he's admitted them to Trent Robinson on the phone. So those bunker officials got the rest of the weekend off.
It's hard to know. They did have, and Trent Robinson was saying it, they had time. They had plenty of opportunities. They had plenty of opportunities once they discovered it, an entire half time for them to talk to him and say that Dylan Brand was indeed on report, so he could have done something about that.
Yeah, well, for him to have to make a split second decision as the players apparently were running back out there, it beggars belief when you consider there were so many replays of it before actually a decision was even made. They got it wrong last night. The Roosters, who were on the back of, they didn't get a lot of good fortune out of that game, but, you've got to say that the admiration for them is fantastic. But I've got to say Parramatta again, they've lost one game all season. They won that game in 2 months' time. I don't think I'll remember how they won it, just that they beat the Roosters.
Yep.
And, first time they'd done, they'd lost four in a row against them and had a bad record against them. So, yes, while the circumstances certainly favoured the Eels last night, you still got to win.
It's interesting, Sully, you mentioned if Niokoro's out, he was a makeshift centre anyway. They've got a young kid named Will Penasini, I think.
Yeah.
They've got huge wraps on.
Good player. Good player.
And obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Jake Arthur might come into contention if Dylan Brown's out. So we might see a couple of young Eels stars coming through getting a chance.
Yeah, it's maybe a little bit early. I tell you what, it'll be a tough initiate, well, it always is, but I think the Warriors are going to be nice and hard for them up in Brisbane next week. Brad Arthur made the point that he thought the Darwin trip was a little bit draining, and then you get a game like that to back it up, and then it might be difficult for them to pick themselves up. The thing that kind of snuck under our guard, I thought, really, was the fact that Michael Jennings' confirmation that he won't be coming back to the club at all.
And I think that was a salary cap thing, because obviously I think Michael's going to fight that anti-doping charge, and that could take some time. If that's the case, Parramatta got to keep paying him. They can't use the salary cap money. So now they've obviously reached a settlement with him. They can use that money to potentially sign a player to replace him in their top 30 and moving forward. So I think that's the idea behind it, just to clear some salary cap room.
What about Walker Blake?
He's still a few weeks away.
Is he?
MG, yeah. He's back doing some stuff, but I don't think that he's in contention for selection this week.
All right, so we kicked around, of course, the Rabbitohs 50-point losers to Melbourne Storm. Just want for you to listen to and for us what Coach Wayne Bennett had to say.
Wayne, how do you explain that? What happened out there tonight?
Oh, we probably got what we deserve. We've been heading that way in the last couple of weeks and managed to pull games out of the fire, but they're too good for that.
We probably doubted you in recent weeks when you questioned the way your team was going, but probably shows why you've won seven comps.
You spent a lifetime doubting me, so that's...
You felt like that was coming?
Yeah,
that's been coming.
That's what I was on about last week in Canberra. It just got worse tonight against a really quality team.
Do you think after a defeat like that, Wayne, it's like, how do you pick a side up after something like that, is it?
You'll just have to watch.
Secrets?
Oh. No secrets.
So, Reedy, was he talking individually when he was talking about you've doubted me all of this time? Was he just talking about you?
He might have been.
Or do you think comrades in arms?
To be fair, I've been a long-time Broncos fan. I always thought he was the greatest coach in the game's history. But anyway, that's another story.
Brent Michael Parkinson Reed just there.
He didn't give me much, did he? I was saying to Sterlo.
Did you expect anything different?
He can be an intimidating presence when you're in a press conference like that, because you go on with his great intentions to ask these open-ended questions where he's got to be expansive, but you find yourself just randomly throwing questions at him, and you know he's going to, sometimes he's really expansive, but most of the time he just gives you nothing.
Which means as an interview, you've got to have a question ready to go on the back of possibly a
one-word
answer.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that everybody...
have an answer ready as well.
Yeah, exactly. Talks about Wayne, being different. I actually had a week with him many, many years ago when the World Club Challenge was on, and John Maney would have been coaching Wigan at the time. They must have been playing Brisbane. And we had a week of tennis. with John and Wayne played doubles and someone else played. It was the best week ever. Like I just saw, I guess, what the players see of Wayne Bennett. We didn't talk a lot of rugby league during that week, and he obviously had a very good relationship with John Mooney. So just to be hanging along there and playing a few sets of tennis each day, it was a great experience. But I've never really wanted to have to put a microphone in front of him to try and
get something. I've seen him stand up and speak at lunches, and he's brilliant. Yeah. He's brilliant. And the same thing you said, you know, it's difficult to get stuff out of him in those situations. Yet when he is defending Latrell Mitchell, he's incredibly expansive. He's asking himself questions and answers them, you know.
But there's a misconception, Tone, about Wayne in the media. He's because people see him in the press conference like that, and he's hard, and he's short. But if you... If you text Wayne or ring Wayne about something he's genuinely interested in talking about, he's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I used to have a really good relationship with him. I don't have as good a relationship as I used to because I'm the so-called Seabold sympathiser, you know. My relationship with him's a bit terse now. But when you're on with Wayne, he's a fantastic bloke to have on your side.
You were going to use taciturn, wasn't it?
I was taciturn.
Yeah, halfway through and ran out of petrol.
Is that the right word?
And I know you asked a question earlier about 50 and what history says. I think if you took four players out of any team who are in their top five, then no Cameron Murray, no Latrell Mitchell, no Adam Reynolds, no Campbell Graham. You can throw Mansour and Jackson Paulo in there as well. I'm not putting a line through them. I think they'll have plenty to offer second half of the season.
The pace of the game. Trent Merrin said a few weeks ago when he retired that the game had gone past him, and he was talking about, I guess, keeping up a little bit. Is it those guys, is it now? We were talking off air with Gerds earlier, Sterlo, about it being more and more a young person's game given the new rules. Do you think that is the case?
No, I don't. I think it's an individual thing. I watched the performance last night of Junior Paulo. You know, a lot of people thought that new rules wouldn't suit him. He was the best player in the field last night, certainly for Parramatta. So, no, you know, it's... You've just got to be well conditioned. Look, I come from an era where everybody played 80 minutes.
Yep.
You know, I don't find a lot of sympathy. You know, people think it's too fast or whatever. That's just the game. You just got to train harder.
Well, one team that certainly plays a quick brand of footy is the Panthers. Now, after Melbourne had put a stamp on the round with a 50-0 win over the Bunnies, they came out and put on 48 points on the Sharkies. They're an impressive young unit, aren't they? Is that an understatement?
Yeah, they go for it. To me, the most amazing thing is the defensive statistic at the moment. Like, if you're averaging, 7 or 8 points a game against, when we're saying that more points are being scored and more blowouts because there's more fatigue in the game, it's even more impressive than maybe what it was a number of seasons ago.
Well, certainly 1963 when the Dragons had that last record, or what was it, 90 points scored?
The demands on defence at the moment is enormous. So for them to be able to be so brilliant with the football and relentless with the football, but to back it up when they don't have the ball in their hands, you know, that's what wins premierships.
And do they see that scoreline from the night before and go, we're going to have a real crack here? 50-0 from the Melbourne Storm, and they kept their foot on the throat, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's, that pleased Ivan Cleary, obviously. And that's difficult to do. You know, when you're in control, it's easy just to kind of go back a gear and to, I won't say coast, but to lose intensity. They just want to score more points. They just want to keep going and going. And, they are relentless in all areas of their game at the moment.
I think Cameron Ceraldo's in charge of the defence out there. He's done an amazing job. We obviously saw him linked with Cronulla and Craig Fitzgibbon, but he decided to stay there. I think Penrith will be delighted about that. I mean, he's a future head coach down the track, Cameron Ceraldo, and what Penrith are doing is only helping his cause.
Will Craig Fitzgibbon be having some sleepless nights or not?
Well, probably, because they don't. He's got a handful of players they haven't re-signed yet. He's fighting to get Adam Reynolds in next year, and there's no certainty that'll happen. They still haven't decided what they're doing with Sean Johnson. I don't think Sean's shown much over the 3 weeks he's been back. They've got some issues, but they've got a bit. I think the other issue is that they need to make a decision on those blokes sooner rather than later, and they're not playing well. So he's in a tough spot at the moment. Fitz.
He'd be excited by the prospect.
Yeah.
Yes, all of that's going on, but he's about to step into his first gig as an NRL coach. He'd be he'll be counting the days.
Well, they signed William Kennedy through the week. That's a big plus.
Yeah, he's been good.
I think they only offered Johnson 1 year contract for 400K, so he's not going to be there next year, you wouldn't think, unless he wants that money. But, yeah, Fitzgibbons is going to be one of them guys who I think will attract guys once they – I think he's got to make a kill, but I think he's got to make – he's got to announce someone soon to who's going to be the a player who's going to be in the halves there. Look, they've got Matty Moreland and Johnson both off contract, and I doubt whether either will be there next year.
Matty Moreland's already getting offered around. MGM, yeah. he got offered to Brisbane.
He was good when he came on last night, though. He did spark something for a little while there.
Adam Reynolds is the man. Is the key, isn't it? Like, if he can get Adam Reynolds,
bloody oath.
Things just kind of slot into place around that to a degree.
Yeah. And we heard earlier, of course, that the Broncos, it's the fourth year that
he wanted
wants.
The fourth year, apparently, and they've said, no, it's only three.
Yeah.
But they are desperate, so we'll see.
All right, and just wrapping up, the COVID situation, obviously, with that man who had the imperative to barbecue, went to several barbecues galore, which was terrific, had the sausages, the whole lot when he went to various places, and ended up at the meat store. So he had the happy ending.
A bit of Specsavers, he was in the right place there.
Absolutely. But subsequently, there was just his wife also tested positive to COVID-19. But since then, there's been no community transmissions in New South Wales. The reason I'm saying this is I'm looking ahead to Magic Round. Now, the players were put into what, the phase
level
start
three.
Level three?
Level three, yeah.
Where are we for Brisbane next weekend?
We'll be fine, Tone. Peter Vlandy is very confident it will go ahead. You know, it's very important for the game and the Queensland government that goes ahead. And I think we'll be up there. Don't worry.
And for me, I haven't been on a plane for a long time.
You'll be fine. Yeah, you'll be there.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have been barred from flying. If you don't play up on them, they let you back on.
You ask for the minibar at 10 a.m.
My wife spends a lot of time at Bunnings. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like she's comes from a family of builders type thing. And so much so that when I pass, I'm going to get buried under a bunny so at least I know she'll come and visit. That's the plan.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
This went so well last week I thought I'd trot it out again, Sterlo. Remember, this is the radio segment voted best in the Southern Hemisphere at the glittering award ceremony in Morpeth. Here we go. Believe
it's Morpeth.
Where's Morpeth?
It's sort of west of Newcastle.
You know. Great spot.
Yeah, lovely
little
place.
It's a lovely little historical place. Great pub there.
Good pub.
Yeah.
And it was a really good place for the award ceremony.
Never thought we'd be talking about Morpeth this morning, but well done, Tony.
Believe it or not, Josh Hodgson will not be at the Raiders in 2022. We've talked to the troubles that's going on there. MG, believe it or not.
I've got to believe it, I think. I think it might be a Bronco.
Ooh.
So, I think some things you just can't come back from. All this rumour and innuendo we're hearing from Canberra. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Otherwise, they nip it in the butt. And as I said earlier in the show, three wins and this all disappears. But some things just can't be pulled back. And if he's had a blow up with Ricky and relinquished the captaincy, well, that's pretty big news. If you don't want to be captain of the club you're playing at, well, why play there?
So, Rudy, believe it or not that he won't be there next year. If you don't believe it, do which?
Not. I say not.
I'm going to come in. I'm going to say that I don't believe it, I think.
You disbelieve it?
I think he will be there.
I think he will.
That's
right,
that's
isn't
what
it?
I mean. You
believe, well, yeah. I think he'll be there.
Do you?
Next year. I think that all clubs need a very smart hooker rotation, and I think that Josh Hodgson will be a part of that with Starling for this year and again next year.
Okay, Rudy.
Yeah, I think I'm with Sterl on this one. I don't think I believe it. I think he's building a house down in Canberra.
I don't think you believe it.
I don't believe it.
I don't think I believe it.
Well, you think he's going away, do you? Well,
I think he'll be there.
People in Morpeth are just shaking their heads.
How did this segment win?
The
was a much better segment.
Believe it.
You were saying, Rudy?
I think he's.
You believe it.
I don't.
Do you want me to move on to the next one? The next one's much simpler. Yeah, believe it or not, Ricky Stewart thinks he hasn't lost the draft. No, not that. Ricky Stewart has lost the Raiders dressing room in much the same way I've lost this room. What do you think, Stella? Have you got anything?
I stopped thinking when I sat down next to you.
I know, it's a common trait.
What's the question?
Ricky Stewart has lost the Raiders dressing room.
No, I don't think he's lost the Raiders dressing room. And
he knows where it is.
But he's approached this week very differently, hasn't he, to Adam O'Brien.
Yep.
Adam O'Brien has come out and basically publicly has said the players aren't don't have the desire that is necessary. They're just happy to be first-grade footballers and carry that status. And it's like coaching back to the 20s. Whereas Ricky's come out and said, all good here, hunky dory, nothing to see.
Yep.
But when you've lost four straight, that's not necessarily right. I don't think he's lost. I don't even know what that means, lost the dressing room. Yeah. There are some concerns down there, but I still think that they'll come out and be better than they were last week.
I don't believe it. I don't think he's lost the dressing room. I think he's lost some players in the dressing room, but I don't think he's lost the entire. And their partners. Yeah. I think he's lost the entire dressing room. And I think it's repairable. I don't think it's beyond repair. I think if they win a couple of games, it'll all go away and we'll be happy again.
Yeah, and we'll start at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll know, won't we? What do you think, MG?
Yeah, I'm with the boys. I think he's kind of misplaced it for a minute. I think they're too good a team to be dwelling where they are at the minute. I think they're going to bounce back. I think today could be the resurgence of the Raiders, and once a good win today against the Knights and another one next week, then all of a sudden we're not talking about the Raiders in this type of form. So yeah, I don't think he's lost the dressing room. No.
Rudy, I don't want to delve into people's private lives, but Josh Papali'i coming out and saying that rugby league wasn't the most important thing in his life. Is there something behind?
No, I'm told not. Sterlo. I'm told there isn't. So okay. He's back this week. He asked Ricky to play. So you've got to imagine that he just wasn't in the right frame of mind to play.
MG, that was the best answer. Ricky hasn't lost the dressing room. He just misplaced it.
Where is it? Where's that dressing room? Oh, there it is. I'll find
it
in 2 weeks.
Well, he's a Wagga. He doesn't know Wagga that well. So.
That's true. Yeah. Believe it or not, Dylan Brown should have copped at least 6 weeks for kneeing Drew Hutchinson last night. What do you think, Reedy?
I'm going to go. I believe this, yeah. I think he should. Well, it depends how bad Hutchinson is.
What's he got? Three, hasn't he?
He gets three. Three to four. I think it's probably a little lenient given the we always talk about the outcome not impacting on the charge, but I think in this situation it has to, and I think if Drew's going to be out for a long time, then I think 3 to 4 weeks isn't long enough.
I don't believe it. I was thinking four. I think in things like that, maybe it didn't look a whole lot better, but you've got to look at it in normal speed and player scores, and you come in and you see a lot of players come in in that type of fashion at speed. The unfortunate thing obviously was the contact that he made and the damage that was done. So that has to come into it as well. But I thought 6 weeks might be a little bit extreme. I don't think it was any intent there from Dylan whatsoever. He just was careless with the way that he came in.
MG?
I think if he got Simbin when he'd done it, I think we wouldn't be speaking about him potentially getting 6 weeks. I think it's a 3 to 4 week penalty because I as Sterlo says that you see a lot happen, and as soon as you do it, I've done it a couple of times in my career. As soon as you do it, you know that you've done something wrong. You didn't mean to hurt the bloke when he's trying to score. You're trying to stop a bloke from scoring a try, but I think if you got Simbin for doing it last night, it wouldn't have been such a fanfare today, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, look at that footage of you not meaning to hurt someone. Believe it or not,
when I was 7, when I was 8 years old.
That's right.
He just failed, didn't he? In that pursuit.
He just got it wrong.
Abysmally.
Believe it or not, Melbourne and Penrith are the only teams that can win the competition, MG.
I don't believe it. No, I think they're the definite favourites and standing out after this round, of course. What they've done, 50 and 48 nil respectively, makes them just go that next echelon on the pyramid. But I still think Parra and Roosters maybe have something to do with it. Look, it's easy to say that. But South, I don't know. South, we spoke about South. You can't win a comp after getting 50 points scored against you, but I think this team maybe can. When they get all their troops back, but I think definitely they're the favourites, but I don't believe they're the only ones at this point that can win the competition. I think there's other teams that can as well.
Yeah, I don't believe it. End of the season, the most important thing going into finals football is the health of your roster. Who knows what that'll look like for both of those clubs, and you need momentum to go into that final month as well. And sides, they can build that going in. So, it's easy to say that and understandable to say that round 9, but round 19 and round 23 can look a whole lot different in regards to who's actually playing.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think both those sides have been blessed with injuries. Like Stella was talking about, injuries are so important. They've been blessed through the opening nine rounds or so. At some point, they're going to pick some up because everyone is. It's unavoidable, it seems, in the current game. So I think they'll get their turn and other teams will come back into the picture.
Look, as a Dragons fan, given what's gone on in the recent weeks, I'm very concerned about this. When you're the Doggies and expectations aren't high every week, and there must be games that you would go target, this is a winnable game.
Yes.
I reckon they look at the Dragons and go, this is a winnable game at the moment. So all that kind of, you know, they go into every game wanting to win and hoping to win, but maybe with the expectation not there. I reckon the energy that Trent Barrett, former Dragon, and his team bring tomorrow afternoon is going to be very tough for the Red and Whites. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you, Tone. I think that's exactly what they would do in a rebuilding phase. It's okay, boys. We're not going to, you know, feature that well in the finals race, but we want a couple of kills. And the Sharks a couple of weeks ago were one such team, and I think the Dragons, after their performance last week against the Tigers, is another such team as well.
Yeah, I agree, because I think that they showed real intensity to win that game against the Sharks, and we didn't see anything like that last weekend. And you know, when you don't carry the roster of others, and when you're, you know, not going well consistently, you can do it kind of every few weeks, type thing. And I think on the back of the lack of intensity last week, I think we see a different Bulldog side, especially without the football in this one.
They feel a bit vulnerable at the moment, the Dragons. They missed a few players, Zach Lomax. I think they're playing Tyrrell Fumiano in the centres tomorrow. And they just lost a bit of that momentum they had early in the year. And you know, Ben Hunt's just back from injury and was a bit off the pace last week. So the Dragons just feel as though they've lost their way a little bit.
Yeah, probably Josh McGuire's come down from Cowboys and hadn't managed to sing the song yet.
It's won a game in ages. What's that record of his?
I know, it's not so good. No. Not so good. All right, Seagulls, Warriors. Who wins that one, Reedy?
I think Manly.
Manly, okay.
I'll go Seagulls.
Okay.
And Manly at home, yep.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
And what indeed is the next big thing out of this game this afternoon that you'll hear right here? Raiders taking on Knights, McDonald's Park in Wagga. Brent Reed.
I'm going to go with just Wagga itself, Tone. I've got some stats today.
Okay.
So since 2019, participation numbers in New South Wales are up significantly, but they're particularly up in the Group 9 region where I believe Wagga, is Wagga in Group 9? That's
it,
right?
Is. Yep.
Yeah, they're up 11%. Participation numbers down there. So I think just going back to Wagga and, you know, the way the game's going down there.
That is great, because it's a classic polycodal town, isn't it, Wagga? You know, there's AFLs there, there's lots of different sports, and the fact that they're the participation
Well, the New South Wales Rugby League deserves a lot of credit for that, because there's a lot of talk about participation numbers at the moment, and they're going through the roof.
So Wagga is your next big thing. What about UMG?
Well, in this loser-loser town kind of clash, I expect a lot of urgency, and I expect it to come from the front row. Two guys who have been out of sorts, who both lead their four packs respectively, Josh Papalihi and Dave Clemmer. So I think the clash of them tonight, today, is going to be fantastic. I think whoever gets the upper hand in that clash, that team could go a long way to winning the contest.
Okay. What do you think, Sterlo?
I think the next big thing will be the use of the word polycodal more in vocabulary. I thought it meant you married a lot of different women, but clearly not. So I figured we'll hear that a lot more. But behind that, I'll go the form of the halves, the Canberra halves. Jack Whiten has been the man who has propelled this Canberra team in recent seasons from being a very good side to an outstanding side, one that went through to make a grand final. If they're to get out of their rut, he'll lead the way. And obviously, with the news that George Williams is homesick, just keen to see how that affects his performance and whether he can just focus to where he needs to be.
And that question, I guess, in terms of focus after the week that the Raiders have had.
Exactly, yeah.
It's tough, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that key position, Ricky Stewart has constantly said that basically the number seven, he owns the game, the result of the game, so... George, he'll be under the spotlight because he's been in the spotlight.
Yep. Do they get the job done?
I think they do.
Raiders for you. What about you?
Raiders for me.
Raiders for Brent Reed. Raiders for MG. Dragons all round, I think I heard earlier. yep. Thanks for your company. It's Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.